My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Shalom around the world, kingdom blessings and abundant love from yours truly, the real Dr. Rich. Kingdom greetings to you, CEO and visionary Caleb Padgett. Thank you so much for all that you do to advance the kingdom of Yahuwah. And please, my sisters and brothers, my brothers and sisters, don't allow the name Yahuwah to catch you off guard or to twist or turn you around. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So, yes, I'm speaking in his, I'm calling him by the Hebrewic term, and that's Yahuwah. And so I'm thankful for CEO and visionary Caleb Padgett and her entire and our entire Finding My Way family. Shalom to you around the world. So today, for Candid Conversations, the real Dr. Rich just wants to share a few nuggets that I believe will bless you on this journey in life that we call kingdom right here, because it was our Savior, Yeshua, the promised Messiah, who prayed the prayer and modeled it before the disciples. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So it's all about Yahuwah's kingdom. It's about kingdom citizenship. And so it is my endeavor to encourage you, even as Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It was the Apostle Paul who so eloquently penned this passage of scripture, and these two that I'm going to highlight right now before I get into my primary text. I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahuwah, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Yahuwah, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the daily renewing of your mind. Now, I added that word daily just to put a little bit more emphasis on the how, you know, often, it, you know, we can't just renew our minds on Sunday, or in my case, which is typically a Saturday, the Sabbath, when I take extra time to enter into the presence and rest of Yahuwah. So listen, worship is an everyday, it's a daily practice for me. However, there are days that we set aside to specifically and intentionally become intimate with our Father. Now, it may be more than one day, but I'm just saying there, for many of us, we have a specific time set apart. So Paul is telling us that we have to renew our minds. And I wanted to say daily, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect, not permissible, but perfect will of Yah. So listen, when I quoted the second verse from Romans chapter 12, that was a conjunction, meaning that Paul, the apostle, was not finished with his thought. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Yah, which is your reasonable service. And, verse 2, and be not conformed. So while we're doing that, while we're presenting our bodies as living sacrifices, and you all know as well as I do what a sacrifice is, you know. And so sacrificing is challenging for many of us. A sacrifice, you know, is what Abraham did. He felt like he was going to have to sacrifice his son Isaac as a sacrifice unto Yahuwah. So let me give you the textbook definition, sacrifice, an act of slaughtering an animal or person or surrendering a possession as an offering to Yah or to a divine or supernatural figure. So we're not going to get into the divine or supernatural figure, but I wanted to highlight what sacrifice meant. And so when Paul is speaking, he is definitely speaking to us as, you know, sacrificing that flesh, you know, giving up that flesh, giving up that those things that we partake of in the flesh. And Paul made it abundantly clear that this is what we are to do. We are to sacrifice those things that are of the flesh to present our body in a pleasing way that's holy. And holiness is not something that you can pretend to be. Holiness is that part of us that we are more like Yeshua, that we are more like Yahuwah, meaning that the flesh does not overrule the spirit. And it was also the Apostle Paul who discussed at length in detail how the flesh wars against the spirit man. So it would behoove us as followers, as kingdom children, as the royal priesthood, to feed our spiritual selves and to continue to do daily checks to make sure that we're not falling more in line with the world's ideologies and concepts, which brings me to my main scripture for today. I do have a main scripture for today. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yah, and the Word was Yah. The same was in the beginning with Yah. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Oh, my goodness. So where I am talking today about us being that light. Yes, being the light to the world. And if we're not walking in the authority that Yahuwah has given us through his son, Yeshua, then we're doing a disservice to the kingdom. And let me tell you, don't be confused, because some of us in the family of believers, and I mean whether you're a Christian, whether you're a Buddhist, whether you're Islamic, whatever you are, if, let me tell you this, let me put this, if you're conforming or compromising the word, whether that be the Torah, whether that be the Old and New Testament, whatever it is, if we're compromising what our Heavenly Father has already commanded and even completed through his son, Yeshua, our Savior, then we're doing a terrible disservice. And I can tell you right now that our light is not shining. I want to take a moment to give you just an example. Let me tell you something. When you are living to please Yah more than you are living to please man or to please your flesh, then when you arrive on the scene, it's just like being in pitch black darkness, and you can use your telephone, you can use your cellular device, you can use a small or mini flashlight, and when you turn that flashlight on or you use that app to shine that light from your phone, of course, there will be no darkness in that area. And we, similar to those lights, should be able to expose darkness. Let me tell you what I mean by that. When you arrive on the scene, sin should not be more prevalent, hallelujah, than holiness. I'm telling you this. No. And I'm going to tell you another thing. When we have read our word, there's a passage of scripture where there was a demoniac, is what they have referred to him in one of the synoptic gospels. And this demoniac recognized Yeshua. And Yeshua had that light. He was the light, the promised light, the Messiah. He arrived on the scene, and that demoniac said, Yeshua, why have you come to torment me before my time? And so they recognized, and similar to that demoniac, so it doesn't matter what type of darkness is on the scene. That darkness should be fleeing once you have arrived. Once you are on the scene, once your presence has been made known, and it's not just about you, but it is the light that you carry. Let me tell you that Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 reads, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. Now that's a fire. I'm adding that, so that's my little dry humor. But on a candlestick. So the book of Matthew is telling us that when the light is there, we don't hide the light. We don't cover it up. No, we don't. But we put it on a pedestal, on a candlestick, on a lamp, you know, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men. Women, boys, and girls, and I'm saying that because I want you to know it's not so much just about men, but it's about the whole world, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So listen, we won't take credit for the light. No, we won't. But people, men, women, boys, and girls from any walk of life, any background, any no matter where they're from, no matter what their socioeconomic background is, they should recognize light, because if there's any form of darkness in them, they recognize light, and either they'll be drawn to the light. Yeah, let me tell you, some we can think of certain scenarios where, you know, individuals or even we can talk about a newborn infant who has been in his mother's womb for 9 months or more. And, you know, he's been in complete darkness inside being nurtured. But once he's birthed into the womb, light is something new. It's something different. It's something innovative. And, you know, the infant becomes accustomed to that light, whereas previously he or she was in total darkness. But then you have, I can compare it to, let's say this, that. Or roaches who love darkness, you know, and light is offensive and they're apprehensive to accept light. We'll meet people in this life who are similar to bats. We will meet individuals who are similar. Listen, don't become offended. This is just my analogy and a simplistic way of me saying it, but similar to even the roaches, you know, that Yah created, they run from the light. And we'll meet individuals who are not as receptive, who are not as welcoming to you being a light bearer, being a bearer of light, being a bearer of the good news of Yeshua, HaMashiach, yes, the promised Messiah. So I am just sharing this candid conversation because we as believers need not to conform to the world. We need not to water down or compromise who we are to please our flesh or to please those who are around us. Now listen, it is neither our right to look down or condescend or in a condescending manner upon others, because it is with love and kindness that Yeshua drew us to himself for his Father. And so with that same love and kindness, we are to reach others. And let me tell you something. We have to do it outside of the four walls, outside of the brick and mortar. Yes, we are to gather together. That's a beautiful and wonderful thing. That's a beautiful concept. But I want to remind us that we have to go out and allow the light to be seen in the world, and not to be insecure, not to be ashamed, not to be won over by the world. And even those carnal, quote-unquote, Christians who believe that it's okay to compromise Yah's word, who believe that it's okay to partake in sinful behaviors and to commit high treason against our Heavenly Father. It is definitely not okay. It is not okay for us to have His perfect will available to us, but yet we choose His permissive will. So I am just excited about what Yah is doing in the lives of His children. Let me tell you, and I want to reiterate it again, I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercy, bowels of mercy, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. So listen, I want us to be candid today. Let's have a conversation about our need to be dependent upon nicotine, to be dependent upon any substance to have us to feel better about ourselves, or to not be able to face our giants, or to properly and adamantly and boldly speak to our mountains to move. But because of life circumstances, because of our experiences that were damaging and hurtful and ultimately painful and detrimental to our purpose and our destiny, we have allowed those things to damage and fragment our relationship. But listen, this is an encouraging word from the Apostle Paul. Let's present our bodies as living sacrifices. Let's not live our best lie, L-I-E, but let's truly and wholeheartedly live our best lives. Does that mean we're going to be perfect in this world? No, and we don't have to continue to explain to people that we're not perfect. Anybody in this world who has had an opportunity to live any amount of time know that we all make mistakes. But it is disheartening and disturbing when we willfully commit iniquities and sin and just, you know, flippantly disregard Yah's Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives to help us to overcome these challenges, to help us to heal from our pains so that we don't make a mockery of Him. Present our bodies in living sacrifice, holy. Let me tell you something, holiness. Now, I'm not going to tell you that sin, necessarily specific sins, will send us to hell, but it will definitely separate and sever and strain our relationship with our Heavenly Father. He turned His back on our Savior because of sin. A holy Father cannot look and dwell in an unclean temple. The two cannot coexist. It's like oil and water. There's a separation of the two. It's our reasonable service unto Him. And we can't be conformed to this world. When we conform ourselves to the thoughts of this world, to the mannerisms and actions of this world, we compromise that light. That light is not as bright. That light is not as clear. It does not bring up. It's kind of like, let me say this. When we allow ourselves to compromise the holiness factor, when we allow ourselves to compromise not only the holiness factor, but the perfect will of Yah in our lives, then that light is dimmed a little bit. It's almost like you have a 75-watt bulb, but it's the light that it's giving or providing is at a 20-watt or less. Means it's there, but it's dim to a certain degree. It's not as beneficial as we would like for it to be. This is a great word today. I'm so excited because I feel it. I feel the correction and the conviction, not the condemnation. And Paul goes on to say, he brings another conjunction, and he says, but, listen, he's telling us not to be conformed to this world. But, and I'm adding this, but instead, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So I have to renew my mind. You know, there's so much in society, whether it's television, whether it's audio, whether it's just being in the world and seeing things with our eyes that transpire in the workplace, on social media, in ministry. You know, we see things that are that contaminate us. But we're going to renew our minds because we're infiltrated. Our minds and our hearts are infiltrated by all of this sin, all of these things that come against the kingdom of Yah. So it would behoove us and it would be wise of us to renew our minds through prayer and the pleading of the blood of Yeshua, the shed blood that was offered as a propitiation for our sins, not only your sins, but my sins, not only my sins, but your sins, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable. Let me tell you something. Cain slew Abel because his offering was not acceptable. It was unacceptable to Yah. And let me tell you something. Some of us become upset because Yah has dismissed or has not accepted our gift because he knows that that's not our best. And we'll become angry because we can see the blessing on someone else's lives. We're being blessed as well, but to have our offering to be rejected. And yes, please go and read your word because Yah doesn't accept any and everything. He loves all of us. But what I'm saying is when we know that we're not doing our best, we sin and we willfully sin, but we don't even feel compelled or the unction of the Holy Spirit because we're resisting him to go and repent. Yes, to cry out and to ask him to help us to overcome this particular thorn, if you will, this particular vice, if you will, because if we're nervous and we're fearful, because the word says specifically and unapologetically that Yah has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and soundness of mind. So if he didn't give us that spirit of fear, then, of course, it comes from somewhere, maybe some traumatic experiences, maybe just us, you know, experimenting because we wanted to be a part of the in crowd, the cool people, the acceptable people. And so we tried something not realizing that we were going to become addicted. And so when we became addicted, it's now a habit, and it's not a habit that glorifies Yah. And now we're so dependent upon that vice that we don't trust and rely on Yah and his promises. And so I want to say to you, and I want to encourage, before I pray, I want to encourage you to seek him because he is a deliverer. I know him to be a deliverer. Yours truly, Dr. Rich, was a fornicator. I'm similar to Paul. I don't mind sharing my testimony. But at the tender age of 23, even after being molested, even after being psychologically and emotionally abused, as an only child, I experienced all of these things, and never once did I blame Yah, never once. But at the age of 23, I realized who I was, and I believe that was the worst day. You thought I was going to say for me? Heck no. It was the worst day of Satan's life for me, because could he have kept me in a state of anger, in a state of rebellion, in a state of just complete treason against my Heavenly Father, that would have been ideal for him, but he couldn't do it. I recognized who I was, and I began to live a life, just as we said in Romans 12, that pleased Yah. I began presenting my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, Yahuwah, which was my reasonable service. And I was no longer conformed to this world, thinking that, yeah, I can commit sin, whatever that sin may have been, gossip, backbiting, lying, stealing, fornicating. I didn't think that was any longer acceptable. I knew the truth, and the truth truly and indeed set me free. I became one who was transformed by the regular renewing of my mind, that I would prove what was that good and acceptable and perfect will of Yah. And I'm so very thankful. Again, thank you so much, CEO and visionary Kayla Padgett of Finding My Way Radio, the family. I'm so uber excited and so very thankful for all that CEO Kayla Padgett is doing. And congratulations on being featured in the Spin Awards magazine November and December issue. Congratulations, Kayla Padgett, CEO and visionary of Finding My Way. Father, I thank you for this day, for this is the day that you created. I'm indeed thankful and grateful, eternally grateful for it. I plan, Father, to enter your courts with thanksgiving and to enter your gates with praise, with the praise on my lips. I pray and I speak the prayers of Jabez over those who are listening and who are submissive and obedient to your will, and they show their submissiveness by obedience. Thank you so much for the entire Finding My Way family. Thank you for my husband, Pastor Cedric Duane Richardson, and our baby girl, Princess Leah Camille Richardson. Thank you for the listeners, and I plead the blood of Yeshua over the minds and hearts of those who are connected to CEO and visionary Kayla Padgett, and through our kinship as royal priesthood, brothers and sisters in the kingdom. Shalom, shalom, shalom on this beautiful, beautiful Yeshua's day. He is the Lord. He is the Lord of the Sabbath, and I say thank you. This is my prayer in Yeshua's holy, majestic, matchless name. Join me same time, same place, 2 weeks from today. And don't forget about Ministry Moments with Pastor Cedric and Dr. C. Denise Richardson every other Saturday at 4:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And join our baby girl, Princess Leah Camille, every other Saturday at 12:30 p.m. Central Standard Time for the story time with Princess Leah Camille. Oh, she does an amazing job. Have your children join her every other Saturday. Kingdom blessings.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. 850-8560. Toll-free international callers. 1-888-201-5313.
Greetings, everyone. You are listening to United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World. My name is Pastor Thandiwe Nyoni from Johannesburg, South Africa. And the name of our program is called Uncede on Air, Ndiza Nathi. This show is produced by Kayla Padgett, and welcome to the broadcast today. Sani Bonani. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. San Bonani, everyone. I greet everybody in the name that is above every other name, the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, namhlanje, we are looking at the topic, when all you are becomes who you are. Jesus, when all you are becomes who you are. As you listen to this topic, it talks about when all you are, meaning uguti. There is something that is embedded in the inside of you that needs to come out for the world to see and for the world to experience. When all who you are means, when that is in the inside of you, is released unto the world for the world to enjoy and live on. Meaning, that you are a gift, you and I are a gift to this world. For example, if you are a doctor, if you are a nurse, if you are an accountant, if you are an entrepreneur, whatever qualification or vocation you are at or you are in, it is never for you, but it benefits the next person. If umfundisi, you share the word to nations, the people that benefit the most are ordinary people, are the ones that listen to you every day or every Sunday when you stand on the pulpit and speak the word of God out to them. The gift that is in the inside of you, it was never for you. It's for you to share it with the world, but it gets to be benefited by other people. When you are a doctor, you practice medicine, or you practice police abantu nge gift yakho. You are the one who administer medication, or you diagnose illnesses for people to know good bapeto in don. In fact, they benefit from your gift than you do. So when all you are becomes who you are, it's when that which is in the inside of you benefits the world around you. So today, this is our topic, when all you are becomes who you are. Let's look at this scripture. Ephesians 1 verse 3, it says, "Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Amen. This means that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Why am I reading this scripture? Years back, I got an understanding from Dr. Nelly Kangwa. This thing is deep stepping now. Let's now talk about the stories, Esther, and maybe as a listener, identify yourself in the story. Maybe you are being brought up, or you are brought up by a person who is not your parent. But then you look at what God does with a human being. The Bible tells us when Esther reached the citadel, the place of Susa, when they were taken to the king, they were put in a separate place, a harem. Don't you think, even with us, some of us, impilo allows us to be separated, put in a harem, in a place where we are separated from the rest of other people, so that we receive treatments, the garments, the training that we need in order to offer to the world in the future? No, just think about it. Because as I listen, as I understand the story of Esther, she went through a journey. She was already in the vicinity of being with the king. However, she had to be separated. Some of us, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You are in the vicinity. You are already in the house of God. However, because of what you went through, because of your past, you have to go through a process, metamorphosis process. We're calling day kishwa gwena. Uthola ama treatments okuyizwi kaNkuluNkulu. Uthola special foods. Ukufundiswa ngokuthi ubani. Wadalelwa ntoni, and what is the purpose ewuwe kulo mhlaba? It's almost like kukhishwa okuthizeni ngaphakathi kwakho. Jesus. Lithi iBhayibheli. Hey, Jesus. Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Old things have passed away, but new things have come. I'm quoting the Bible. But when all you are becomes who you are, it's when the darkness of this earth, when ukungcola kwalo mhlaba, it's been cleaned from you. When the darts of the enemy are taken out of you, kuvele kusale phela lokhu uNkulunkulu akubeke kuwena. When all you are becomes who you are, it's when God desire and plan for your life proceeds forward. It's where you become, or you becoming, or you are that which God has called you to be. Never rob us of who you are. Don't rob us of who you are. I once heard a statement, as was mentioned by the late Miles Monroe, who said, the richest place on this earth is not the gold mines. It's not, you know, the richest places that we know on this earth, but it's the cemetery. It's the cemetery where identities were never discussed or discovered. Gifts within people were never unfolded and leashed out for the world to know and experience. Many musicians lay there, doctors, architects, you name it. People have died on this earth without sharing who they are with the world. When all you are becomes who you are, it's destiny. It's about who you are that we, as people, need to listen and hear and benefit from you. We benefit from one another, Smasulo Mhlaba. If I'm a speaker, you are a dancer, you are a doctor, there's something that I must get from you one way or the other. When I have flu, I need to come to you as a doctor. You serve me. When I'm hungry, I come to your restaurant. You serve me food. You are your best chef, Angit. You give me the best. So, let's just go back to the story. You know, the topic on chapter 2 in the book of Esther, it says, Esther becomes queen. Jesus, I wonder, as Uthembi, as Usibongile, as Peter, John, as Cynthia, as whoever, what is your topic on this earth? What are you becoming? Esther becomes queen. What are you becoming? Years back, I attended a boot camp. It was organized by Dr. Nelly Kangwa. And she opened the scripture, Ephesians 1, verse 3. And it reads thus, praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Amen. She, you know, for the first time, I understood this verse in a very different way, in the way she explained it, that each and every one of us are born with a purpose, and it's so much that God has a plan for each and every one of us, and it looks as though there's a time plan for each and every one of us. Like, for example, Uthembi, Uthoko, John, Unana, whatever your name is, when you are born on this earth, there's a limit where at a certain time you are supposed to be at school, at another time you should have finished school, be married at this age, working in this company or working in this gift, doing this kind of vocation, this work on this earth. But unfortunately, because of evil on this earth, because of Satan and his demons, that often disturbs the plan of God. We are not at times where we are supposed to be. So the topic today, when it says, when all you are becomes who you are, it talks about a person who is able to pull through, to push through, and become that which God has called them to be on this earth. And please allow me to look at the story of Esther in the Bible. We're going to read from Esther chapter 2 from verse 5. We'll read other verses and leave others out. sizofunda sijampe sifunde sijampe. Let's go. Now, verse 5. There was in the citadel of Susa a Jew of the tribe of Benjamin named Mordecai, son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, who had been carried into exile from Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Among those taken captives with Jehoiakim, king of Judah. Mordecai had a cousin. This is our story. This is our part. Mordecai had a cousin named Hadassah, whom he had brought up because she had neither father nor mother. This young woman, who was also known as Esther, had a lovely feature and was beautiful. Mordecai had taken her as his own daughter when her father and mother died. Now, the Bible introduces us to Esther. In fact, it first tells us ukuthi igama lakhe lingu Hadassah. She had two names, Hadassah and Esther. Owe cousin kaMordecai. However, the Bible also tells us that Mordecai brought her up because Esther's parents were no more. Let's continue to read. When the king's order and edict had been proclaimed, many young women were brought to the citadel of Susa and put under the care of Haggai. Remember, this is what was when after the king had, I wouldn't say lost, but uhlukane, when he separated or chased his former wife away, uLontuzane, uVasti. You can read in chapter 1 for your own benefit, the whole story in the book of Esther, but you'll read what happened for the king to be in need of a wife. Let me repeat. When the king's order and edict had been proclaimed and many young women were brought to the cedar of Susa and put under the care of Mordecai, Esther was also taken to the king's palace and entrusted to Haggai, who had charge of the harem. A harem is a sacred place in the house. It's a separate place in the wind. She pleased him and won his favor. Efika nje Esther, she pleased the harem. She pleased the Haggai, I mean. Efika, remember the Bible says she was beautiful. Immediately, he provided her with her beauty treatments and special foods. This reminds me of the book of Daniel, where they were provided with special foods, although they asked for fruits and vegetables. But it goes to the time what you put in your body. But in this case, Esther is given treatments to enhance already that which she has, her beauty. He assigned to her 7 female attendants selected from the king's palace and moved her and her attendants into the best place in the harem. So this separate place has the best place. And Esther bona nama attendants, they are given that place. Esther had not revealed her identity to the king's servants, because she was a Jew, by the way. Every day, okay, let me just jump in this part and go to verse 12. Before a young woman's turn came to go into the king's, she had to complete 12 months of beauty treatment prescribed for the woman, 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with perfumes and cosmetics. This is how she would go to the king. Let me just stop right there. When we talk about what you are becoming, what am I becoming? It's crucial for us to really understand the process. As far as Esther went through a process, special foods, special treatments, just to meet with the king. Let's just continue reading the Bible, Sbekewuthi. What does it say? What happened for her to be queen? Kwenzakaleni? What happened? Verse 15. When the ten came for Esther, the young woman Mordecai had adopted, the daughter of his uncle Abihali, to go to the king, she asked for nothing other than what Haggai, the king's eunuch, who was in charge of the harem, suggested. And Esther won the favor of everybody who saw her. Esther won the favor of everybody who saw her. Just imagine. Kusho ukuthi, when we go through processes, nothing missing and nothing broken, allowing God to shape us and to train us, there comes a time when God presents us to the world and favor becomes us. She was taken to King Xerxes in the royal residence in the 10th month, the month of Tibiath, in the 7th year of his reign. Remember, she was in a harem, in a secret, separate place, in the same vicinity. But now, she's ushered in into the king's house. Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's see what happens. Verse 17. Now the king was attracted to Esther more than any other of the other women. And she won his favor and approval more than any of the other virgins. Jesus. So he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. And the king gave a great banquet, Esther's banquet, meaning Esther is now celebrated as king, for all his nobles and officials. He proclaimed a holiday throughout the province and distributed gifts with royal liberality. Now Esther is queen. Now Ntombi is a famous musician. Now John is an architect. Now, Jesus, the world knows you as the great accountant there is. South Africa, nations, what are we becoming? When all you are becomes who you are, means exactly that, becoming that which God has called you to be on this earth. Going through the process of being trained and being separated from the rest of the world and being introduced again and becoming in the world, shine through kulomhlaba, become that which God has called you to be. South Africa, nations, what are we becoming? God help us. God help us. As I end Uncede on Air, my program tonight, today, may I make the following announcements. Uncede is a social and emotional wellness service company. We exist to be in a world where all people are grounded socially and emotionally. We offer three services: motivation, counseling, and strategic planning. We are available to serve nations, starting in South Africa. That's who we are. As Pastor Thando Nyoni, I have produced a 31-minute audio book CD entitled Getting My House in Order. The CD is sold for only 100 rands. People can order via email or WhatsApp or any other way that we can discuss telephonically. Finally, on the 30th November this year, 2019. Ungcede is being relaunched back to the world. Ungcede Prodigy. Becoming that which God has called us to be. It's a relaunch and a motivational wellness service session on the 30th November, 2019. We're inviting anyone who would be interested right here in South Africa. Maybe by God's grace, if you are around South Africa, but you are not from South Africa, on that during that time, you may be interested to come. However, we because of order, because of space, we're gonna secure tickets. We're going to create tickets for people to use for entry as an entry point. All those will be announced via this medium and other mediums that we use in around our country. You can use our phone number. It's 0846693615. 0846693615 through WhatsApp. You can contact us through WhatsApp or email ungcede@yahoo.com. On the day, the three speakers that we have, it's Mr. Petulo Malapane, who's speaking on his book, Impact Generation. Mrs. Portia Ntsepe, who's talking on love, life, and purpose. And Mr. Teboho Mokine, a financial solutionist. He's speaking on financial freedom through wisdom. So it's a value-packed wellness session that should not be missed by anybody. However, space is limited. Like I said, my number is 0846693615. For those of you who are able to call me within South Africa, I'll prefer WhatsApp all the time. 0846693615 or email ungcede@yahoo.com. Ungcede, it's UNGCEDE. UNGCEDE. When all you are becomes you who you are. South Africa. Nations of this world. Let us become that which God has called us to be. I thank you and may God bless you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Greetings. This is Dr. Mary coming to you with another session of Healing the Hurt. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to the program today, and I pray that you will be able to gather a few nuggets that will help you heal the hurt and that will help you help someone else heal the hurt. As always, let me just remind you that it is only God who has the power to heal our hurt. And it is only God who has the power to turn our pain into purpose. And it is only God who has the power to change our adversities into authority so that we can walk out our destiny. I pray that you would be encouraged by the lesson that I believe the Spirit has deposited in my spirit to share with you today. Let's pray. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, we honor you. We give you glory and praise for being our great protector, for being our healer and our provider. We thank you, Father, for all that you have done to keep us during this extended pandemic. And Father, I want to thank you for Caleb Padgett, CEO and founder of Finding My Way Radio Networks. I thank you, God, for her commitment to winning souls for your kingdom. Father, I thank you for her devoted team and sponsors, for their commitment to sharing your gospel message all around the world. Continue to bless them, manifest your power in their lives, and meet every one of their needs. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for providing me the opportunity to share in this great mission. Father, I pray that you will heal sick bodies, that you will comfort those that are mourning losses, and that you will continue to provide provision of strength for us to endure that which you have allowed to touch our lives. Heavenly Father, I pray that every word uttered from my lips today will be pleasing to you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. As I meditated about what I may say to listeners today that might encourage healing hurt, and I meditated on why emotional healing seems to be such a struggle for so many people, I believe the Spirit deposited three words into my heart: passion, power, and purpose. Again, passion, power, and purpose. As I meditated on those three words, I believe the Spirit put into my heart, I began to think about just how much our passion and our thoughts affects each other. And I thought about the role that passion and thoughts can play when it comes to accepting God's promises. What we think and feel, and what we think about how we feel, can often be key factors in determining whether we get or whether we don't get healing for our hurt. We need to always be aware of our feelings because it's important. Feelings, especially those about ourselves, have power to impact our level of faith in either a negative way or a positive way. For instance, if we don't feel worthy of a certain thing, we usually will not seek very hard to achieve it, because we don't truly believe we should have it. On the other hand, if we feel we deserve something, we will fight with all our might to get it. You know, it's not uncommon for a person who has suffered or lost to feel guilt because they're still alive and their loved one isn't here anymore. For someone who thinks this way, their grief recovery will be delayed because the person does not truly think in their heart that they deserve to recover. So changing our thought process regarding hurtful situations and seeking purpose will help us heal. Being aware of my thoughts and changing my thought pattern about what I felt was key to accepting what God allowed to happen in my life. Not only have I been able to accept the predetermined adversities, but I acquired some valuable insight and spiritual strength from those painful lessons. I shared some of those lessons in my book, Broken Rungs Yet I Climb. And I want to just share one of my favorite lessons from page 127 of that book. This was the lesson that made Romans 8:28 truly come alive in my spirit. Now, anyone who knows me well, you know that Romans 8:28 has been my signature scripture for many years. On page 127 of the book, I state, life's painful experiences did not leave me broken and bitter, but instead, I believe they have made me better in every way. By sharpening my spiritual insight, enhancing my capacity to give and receive genuine love, and to look for value in all circumstances. I repeat, this lesson made Romans 8:28, you know the scripture that says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That scripture took on new meaning when I began to look for value in all circumstances. I learned that if I look for value in every situation, then adversities would not affect me the same way ever again. I believe that was a revelation of the powerful interplay that my passion, power, and purpose had on my healing. Passion is usually referred to as our feelings and emotions, and we know that passion can sometimes be the enemy's playground. Passion is the area that I believe the enemy attacks first, probably because we often rely on emotions to guide us rather than gauge us in terms of our actions and behavior. Now, that's one of Satan's major frauds. Satan is crafty, He's deceptive, and he usually presents himself as something we want or something we trust, just to trap us. 2 Corinthians 11 and 14 reminds us that he disguises himself as an angel of light. His trick is to keep us in bondage to pain by any means necessary. If he can do that, he'll keep us hurting, and he'll keep us ineffective for God's kingdom. When we are seeking healing for hurts, I think it is important to think from a holistic perspective, remembering that we are the sum of three inseparable parts, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. We are spirit, soul, and body. If these three parts are inseparable, as I believe that they are, then logic would dictate that each part affects the proper functioning of the other. When one part isn't performing at peak capacity, the other will suffer the effects of the imbalance. I further believe that when it comes to emotional healing, the same principle is at play in terms of passion, power, and purpose. That's what I believe the Spirit dropped into my heart. The same principle is at play in terms of passion, power, and purpose as with our body, soul, and spirit. If we control our passion, if we exercise power, and know our purpose, that puts us in position for healing. The three must work together, though. I believe that there is an important interplay, the same as with our spirit, soul, and body, and there must be a balance, or the other one will not function properly. Now, what do I mean by that statement? I believe that if a person gets trapped into a web of painful emotions, Satan can use that bondage to upset spiritual equilibrium, which can present as a flawed perception of self. When we are spiritually out of balance, our perception of self is distorted. We cannot see ourselves or our position in the world around us as we need to. For instance, there may be one area in life that a person has not acquired victory over, and because of the incorrect perception created by the imbalance of passion, they may see themselves as a total failure, thinking a situation is hopeless when it may only require a minor adjustment. There are many ways that Satan can deceive us when passion is out of balance. Passion is a gift that God gave us to glorify Him and to appreciate and gauge the way we live our lives. Passion must not guide our lives, so Satan often deceives us into thinking. Since God is a God of order, I believe passion, purpose, and passion are gifts. And every gift that God gives us is important. When passion is not in balance, I see that as a type of spiritual immune disorder. We know that physically, when one suffers from an immune disorder, it causes the body to attack itself and causes some serious problems. That is how I see passion when it is out of sync, as attacking our spirituality, causing us some serious problems. And one of those serious problems I mentioned earlier, a distorted self-perception. When we develop a distorted perception of ourselves and we fail to consider ourselves worthy of accepting God's healing, that is a serious problem. Failure to see ourselves worthy of God's attention can surely be used by Satan to impede healing for our hurts. We need to be on guard for spiritual immune disorders, you know, those thoughts and attitudes and feelings that negatively impact our spirituality. We need to be on guard constantly against them and continually strive to see ourselves as God sees us. Now, I know that that can be a daunting task for someone who's struggling with emotional pain, but staying prayerful and reading God's word daily will help. Know that we are worthy of God's attention because of Jesus' sacrifice. Now, how does God see us? I believe when God looks at his children, he sees a perfect balance. I don't believe that he sees us as all good, nor does he see us as all bad. But rather, I think that he views us as a sinner, a transgressor of God's law, which carries a penalty of death, a sinner that has been saved by his grace. Grace being the postponement of that penalty of death. I think that Ephesians 2 and 5 reveals how God perfectly balances scales for us. Once a sinner, now saved. Perfect balance. Once sinner, now saved. It is important to view ourselves as God views us and to accept God's view. Because acceptance will promote healing our hurt. Sometimes we can accept God's view for everyone except ourselves. That's a common example of what I call a spiritual immune disorder and a common trick of the enemy. Passion is supposed to be a gift working for us, not against our spirituality. In thinking about the role that passion, power, and purpose play in healing the hurt, I want to share what I believe the Spirit revealed to me in terms of the position that power plays in the process. When dealing with painful situations in life, we probably don't think too much about our power because Satan often gets us so distracted thinking about our pain and discomfort that we tend to forget all about our power. Being created in the image and likeness of an almighty God can't mean that we were created powerless and at the mercy of the enemy. Ephesians 6 and 10 reminds us that we ought to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Might indicates superior strength, not just mediocre, but superior strength. And this is according to the King James Version of the Bible Dictionary. And I say that when we are functioning in the power of God, we can be a force to be contended with if we are functioning in the power of God. Genesis 1 and 26 reminds us that God gave mankind dominion and power over every creature that moved upon the earth. Now, in terms of dominion and power, we have been given dominion and power through God, and we can pull down and we can tread upon some stuff through our faith. God gave man dominion and power to control everything that moved upon the earth. Think about that for a moment. That's power. Now, we may not be able to physically control everything that moves upon the earth, but we absolutely have power to emotionally control everything and every deception that Satan can use against us upon the earth. That means we are not helpless against the devices of the enemy. Luke 10 and 19 reminds us that Jesus gave his disciples authority over all power of the enemy. Now, I believe that same authority that rendered spirits subject to the disciples remain available to us today if we receive it through faith. As children of the Most High, we have been given power over all, not some, but all the power of the enemy according to Scripture. We have no reason to fear him. There is nothing that he can use against us that we have not already been given power to defeat. The biblical truth here assures us that we not only have power over our reactions to the natural things in the earth, but we have been given power over the spirit realm as well. Remembering and accepting that realization that we have power over the enemy and our reactions to every painful situation that happens in the earth, that will put us in a perfect position to receive God's healing for our hurt. The enemy doesn't get to say anything in terms of the narrative of our lives when it comes to our healing. Just as God gave us that authority, we simply need to accept it by faith and walk in it, realizing that healing does not always mean that we are going to be pain-free. Sometimes it means that Our mind has shifted and our focus is no longer on our discomfort, but rather on healing. I'm sorry, but rather on hearing the whisper of the Spirit. Let me repeat that. Sometimes healing means that we're not pain-free, but our mind has shifted and our focus is no longer on our discomfort, but rather on hearing the whisper of the Spirit, on pleasing Him and learning those valuable life lessons from our experiences. Either way, we hold the power over the enemy, and we, through the power that comes from faith in God, hold the key to unlock our healing. It is faith in God that balances our passion, that reaffirms our power, and positions us for healing the hurt. Now, Jesus affirmed the power of faith to heal hurt in Scripture. In Mark 10, 46 through 52, Luke 17, 11 through 19, and again in Matthew 9, 20 through 22. Jesus made the statement, "Your faith has made you well." Healing for our hurt is directly related to our level of faith in the power of God. And our level of faith is directly related to our ability to balance our passion, power, and purpose. Now, we may wonder, how does power, passion, and purpose fit into healing? Let's talk about purpose for a moment. Just as God is a God of order, He is a God of purpose. There's purpose for everything that He allows. If He allows us to experience any type of pain, be it emotional or physical, I believe there is purpose attached to the experience. And when He heals our hurt, I believe there is purpose attached to that as well. It's not going to be just for our personal benefit, but I firmly believe that our personal healing always serves a greater good. Someone's faith will be strengthened by our testimony. I was encouraged by Paul's testimony regarding the thorn in his flesh, as recorded in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 8. The scripture did not tell us what the thorn was, but we know that whatever it was not something that Paul immediately embraced, because according to scripture, he asked the Lord three different times to remove it. But there was purpose for the thorn, and I believe that Paul realized it and accepted it. And I also believe that Paul's acceptance gave him even more freedom to soar high in Christ, because he had learned the sufficiency of God's grace. I believe that was a lesson that he was to learn, the sufficiency of God's grace. And I believe that is a lesson that we are to learn from whatever painful situations that we are experiencing, the sufficiency of God's grace to sustain us. We don't read where Paul mentioned that thorn ever again. He relied on the sufficiency of God's grace to carry him through. As I mentioned earlier, sometimes healing is not does not mean that we are pain-free. Sometimes it means that our focus has changed. And sometimes it means that there is a shift and we are no longer concentrating and thinking about the discomfort of our own flesh, but we're looking for purpose. There will be times when healing from emotional wounds come when we learn to look past those desires of the flesh, you know, the desires for personal satisfaction that Satan distracts us with. And when we begin to seek purpose for our experiences, sometimes that opens up the avenue for our healing. As I mentioned before, God is a God of order and a God of purpose. He purposefully made us. He purposely saved us. And He purposely allowed our situational experiences, regardless of what they are. He allowed them. He's always in control and He does nothing by chance. Romans 8:17 reminds us that we are saved for a purpose. Why? So that we can become his heirs and share in his glory. 1 Peter 2 and 9 reminds us that we are chosen for purpose. Why? So that through our praise, we can show other people the goodness of God. Sometimes we read that scripture and we only focus on the part that talks about we are a chosen generation and we are royal. But that's all good. But let's not forget the true purpose for that distinction. Yeah, we're royalty. Yes, we're set apart. But if we continue reading that verse to the end, we'll find the purpose for that distinction. It is so that his glory will be shown to the world through our praise. I believe that God allowed me to experience tremendous emotional pain so that I could speak today as an expert witness to tell everyone who is listening that God is a healer and God is a deliverer. I further believe that his purpose for my pain was so that I could be just one more mouthpiece for him to tell hurting people all over the world that God can heal your hurt, that God can turn your pain into purpose, and only God can change your perspective in terms of adversities so that you no longer view them as negatives, but rather as sources of power enabling you to walk victoriously in the purpose that he has predetermined for your lives. In closing today, I pray that you've gained something from this lesson, but I just want to reiterate the importance of keeping our passion balanced, remembering our God-given power, and to exercise emotional control over all the powers of the enemy, and seeking to know purpose in every situation. This is a formula that I believe the Holy Spirit shared with me to share with you today that will help us get in the perfect position to receive healing for our hurt. You see, in order to receive something, we have to be in the position to receive it. And I believe that this is the formula that will put us in perfect position. Passion, power, purpose. Faith balances passion and reaffirms power as God reveals purpose and extends his grace to heal our hurt. I want to say that again. Passion, power, purpose. Faith balances our passion and faith reaffirms our power as God reveals purpose and extends his grace to heal our hurt. If you're listening and you don't think that you are in a perfect position to receive healing because you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity to correct that. Having a relationship with Jesus qualifies you to receive healing for your hurt. Jesus wants to save you. He wants to heal you and he wants to give you the new life of victory in him. Romans 10, 9 and 10 reminds us that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, we will, a definitive statement there, we will be saved. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. We simply need to believe, confess, and turn away from practicing sin. And Jesus promises to save us. Now, if you want Jesus to save you today, join me in this short prayer of salvation. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I confess my sins to you and I ask your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave on the third day. Come into my heart. Save me, Jesus, and I will serve you from this day forward. Thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Now, if you prayed that little prayer, simple little prayer in faith, God heard it, and welcome to the family of God. You're now saved. I would like to assist you if you have a need, to connect you with a virtual ministry that will help you grow spiritually and stronger in your faith. If you would like to contact me, I want to give you my new website. It's www.drmarygpattonbooks.com. Again, that's www.drmarygpattonbooks.com. It's a new website, so please take note of it. Get in touch with me. And I pray that your hearts have been encouraged by this lesson today, and I invite you to join me again for the next session of Healing the Hurt. Until then, be encouraged and remember, God wants to heal you. God bless you.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313. Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.